Mark Simone on the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Well, we have lots to get to today. Normally, we never allow guests in the studio. It's always a pain in the neck. You know, they come with 12 people. This one needs to use the, what's the Wi-Fi password? This one wants coffee. This one needs to use the restroom.
It's all of them.
Well, we only make one exception. It's Ann Coulter, and it's a special occasion. Ann Coulter's new book, it's not out yet, but it's coming in a week.
Monday.
Oh, Monday.
Well, technically, the release date is Tuesday, but as you keep pointing out, thank you to your listeners, Amazon usually delivers early.
Yeah, I don't know why, but if it's, you order it on Amazon, in fact, do it right now, order it on Amazon, you always get it before the release, but she's brought me an advance copy, Resistance is Futile, incredible cover. If you check Twitter or Instagram, I just put up a picture of the cover. It's Ann Coulter's new book. And, oh, who is this very distinguished gentleman?
The distinguished gentleman is Oliver from The Guardian, who's doing a little profile
from
on
The Guardian, the British newspaper. Now, take a look at this guy. You'd see an American journalist. It's always some slob that comes in.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that.
Beautifully dressed. He looks very British.
Yes.
His name is Oliver.
That's the best thing.
Why can't we have journalists like this?
I know. That's a good point.
Even if it's the New York Times, whatever, it's always some slob comes in with a sweatshirt on and a knapsack.
Yeah, you know, I spoke at Oxford last year, and I was really disappointed that everyone wasn't named something like Nigel or Oliver.
Yeah, or Ian. It's always...
that's a good one.
All right, so let's take a picture of him and go over to the New York Times and say, why can't you have your journalist look
like this? Yeah, yeah, and have good names
like
that.
He looks like he's doing something serious.
He is.
What the hell is he writing over there?
I know.
That's why I take so many notes. You know, right now, talking to millions of people, this guy's more intimidating with the notes. What is he writing down? That's another thing. New York Times, you talk for 5 minutes, then they write down two words. This guy's like the court stenographer.
No, that's a very good sign. In general, my best interviews have been with college reporters because they haven't gone to Columbia Journalism School where they learn, you don't have to quote them exactly. You can put quotes about around kind of a paraphrase. Don't worry about getting it exactly right. And the quotes are always, well, I love them. The liberals may not like them, but it's actually what I said.
Well, you got to get Ann Coulter's new book, Resistance is Futile. I could just look at the chapters. Now, obviously, I just got it a second ago. I can't read it yet.
The chapter titles are excellent. And they're very short chapters with lots of headings because I am part of the Twitter generation.
It's great.
And notice it's a nice short book. That's a lot of footnotes.
Chapter 1, The Resistance. Trump is Hitler times infinity. Everybody gets called Hitler, except Hitler. He's the only one that's called Hitler. So let me just find, there's some chapter titles. Different. I love this one, Different Strocks for Different Folks. What about this Peter Strzok? Liberals finally support a cop, and it's him.
No, I know. Well, as I point out throughout the book, liberals have flipped positions on a lot of things, but their support for our boys in blue. I'd also add, as I describe in the book, this, you know, their celebration when the Inspector General's report came out, saying that they could not find any specific evidence that a decision was directly a result of Peter Strzok's bias. Can we have that applied to all other discrimination cases? Yeah. I mean, would they accept that your boss goes around using the N-word, telling racist jokes, refuses to promote you? Yes, but we have no direct evidence that it affected a specific decision. You couldn't have discrimination law if that's what the standard was. I mean, obviously, this is a pretty big elephant in the room when the lead investigator, both on Hillary's ridiculous investigation and the Trump investigation, is writing these hysterical, girlish, anti-Trump texts to his mistress.
Yeah, you look at Robert Mueller. He applied for a job in the Trump administration. He went to a job interview to be FBI director. He was turned down. He was a member of the Trump National Golf Club. He quit because he had a fight about the dues. His law firm represented Jared Kushner. He wouldn't be allowed on a jury to try Trump. How is he allowed to be the special counsel?
I don't think that's as good as the stuff I get him on. When he was head of the FBI, I mean, the problem, one of the, and, you know, I'm you know, I have my complaints with President Trump.
Yes.
But there are a few things, you know, he's absolutely 100% right about, and no one else would have said it. The fake news is so brilliant, and the swamp is so brilliant, the concept of the swamp. And these guys, whether it's Comey or Brennan or Clapper, they just feel like, you know, they are emperor gods on a divine mission, and both of them have presided over massive screw-ups with the full power of the government behind them. You've probably forgotten, and there are others, but one I mentioned with Mueller was he was the one whose FBI, and he was very tied up in this investigation, who pursued Stephen Hatfield
for
6 years after the anthrax mailing. 6 years. He brought in the lead investigator. The details of that case are shocking, how they just wasted time once they finally get around. And by the way, FBI agents, what you see in case after case is the FBI agents out in the field, they're trying to do what the FBI is supposed to be doing. Meanwhile, the guys back in the swamp, they're writing their memoirs and hoping for a nice write-up in the New York Times. They're obviously blowing off things like the Parkland shooter, like the Pulse nightclub, Omar Mateen. No, they're too busy running, spying on an opposition campaign to the woman who should have been president. But Mueller has plenty to answer for in his career. And what's interesting, both Mueller and Comey, by the way, Comey on that 6 year pursuit, the government not only ended up having to pay Hatfield millions of dollars, but the judge who oversaw it, ordered that's a separate issue. I'll get back to that.
In
both cases, it's in the book. In both cases, Comey and Mueller are on the record assuring higher ups. The best one is Comey assuring, interestingly, Paul Wolfowitz, who asked him during the pursuit, asked Comey, who was then at the FBI, "Are you sure Hatfield is the guy and this isn't another Richard Jewell?" Incredibly prescient statement. Yeah. That was the Atlantic. The Olympic bomber
where
that
they had the wrong guy
pursued for a long time, wrong guy. It's amazing that Wolfowitz was so smart and he said that. And what did Comey say? Absolutely dead to rights. It's Hatfield. Both Mueller and Comey cited the bloodhound evidence. The bloodhounds are like famously voodoo. I have a few cases where they've been blown off. But at the end of it all, both of them just say, "I wouldn't have done anything differently." So, sure. You know, they can copyright that for the Trump investigation.
But a bad track record on Mueller. Boston, the guy had the wrong guys. I think they settled with those guys for almost $100 million when Mueller ran the FBI up there.
So, I think it's not as bad as the two cases I mentioned.
Oh, okay. But
are egregious. And he was personally involved asking for constant briefings on the Stephen Hatfield case. He brought in the lead investigator. And the other case was the very political case of a sitting senator indicted 2 months before an election, Senator Stevens in Alaska, popular senator.
Yeah.
He lost by 2%. And then 6 months later, Eric Holder comes in. The prosecution was too corrupt for Eric Holder. So Mueller, in addition to lifelong Republican, another phrase for him could be too corrupt for Eric Holder. The judge on that case ordered an independent counsel investigation of the investigators. It was such a sleazy investigation.
Wow. It's all in the get Ann Coulter's new book, Resistance is Futile. I'm just looking at the chapter titles. What is this chapter? A Tale of Two Dicks.
Bill Clinton and Richard Nixon.
Oh, okay. I don't want to ask.
People keep asking me, I'm like New York Times reporters. They're seriously, genuinely curious. And as again, these are all very short chapters with the important points. But they keep asking me, how is this different from Clinton? How is this different from Nixon? And it's very simple. But you have to know what happened yesterday.
And what about this chapter? I love this. I love the titles of these chapters. Where is it? Bonfire of the Non-Entities.
Right. Well, those are all of the individuals that Mueller's going after. I feel sort of guilty saying that about people like Carter Page and George Papadopoulos and Manafort. But, I think the biggest overriding point is Trump didn't really have a campaign. This was obvious when he was running for president. His idea for winning the presidency, which, ha ha, everybody laughed at when he was doing it, was, I'll just fly around the country and give barn burner speeches to 10,000 person crowds for 18 solid months. I will push wildly popular ideas, and that will win me the White House. I mean, remember, for the first, basically the first year, it was three people running that entire campaign. It was Hope Hicks, Corey Lewandowski, and of course the man himself, Donald Trump. He was angry when he had to bring in, you know, a pollster and a, quote, campaign manager, none of whom he listened to. He just kept getting on the plane, flying out and giving his speeches. So it would be insane and demented enough to accuse Marco Rubio's campaign or Ted Cruz's campaign of colluding with Russia. How do you collude with a campaign that didn't exist? And that's why with all of these guys that the media keep putting forth, I go back and look and see what the media said yesterday. That's what's so interesting about this book. People forget what they were saying 2 days ago. And they just keep changing the story, moving fast, throwing out criminal charges. But they keep putting out, you know, Carter Page or George Papadopoulos as the crucial link in the big Russia conspiracy. And then they come back a week later with their tail between their legs and say, oh, yeah, Carter Page never had a conversation with Trump. Sorry. Yeah.
No, he's never met Trump.
They sat at that one phony meeting for the photo. And why did they do that? Because the media was making fun of Trump, for example, for not having a campaign manager, for not having a foreign policy team. And in both cases, well, I don't know if you've noticed in the media this past week, well, he picked him. It was his choice to pick Manafort because they're birds of a feather. He knew that he was corrupt. No, there were no other campaign managers who would have taken the job.
Well,
they were either taken or they wouldn't go within a million miles of Donald Trump. Same thing with the foreign policy advisors. That was just a moment of desperation. Trump reads off names from a list. The next day, the New York Times reports, that was about the foreign policy advisors in the meeting with the Washington Post. Oh, I have plenty of foreign policy advisors. Why, I have them right here. They're very prestigious. And he reads a list off a name. That's what the next day, the New York Times says, foreign policy experts were baffled. They've never heard of these people before. Wikipedia. Yeah, because nobody would work for him. They spend a year making fun of him for having no one serious working for him, for being his own counselor, for running a campaign just by giving speeches. And now they want to say, no, he's tied at the hip with these people.
Yeah. Do you think Mueller has noticed, because he put a lot of money and resources into running this Manafort trial, has he noticed that no normal American has paid any attention to this trial, is following it, cares about it?
You're totally right. Which is why I'm embarrassed to say, and don't be driven off by this. I sent a copy to the Muslim Uncle Tom, I thank in my acknowledgments. And I said, you know, like a third of the book is about the whole Russia stuff. And I know you think it's boring, but I think I make it interesting. And he said, no, finally, I understand it. It's very interesting. Your flashbacks to are fantastic. So trust me, you never needed to pay attention until now. This book will give it to you, what you need to know.
All right. Well, you get the book. It's coming out Monday or Tuesday, but you can order it right now on Amazon. It's Ann Coulter's new book, Resistance is Futile. If you go to my Instagram or Twitter, you can see a picture of the cover. It's a great cover.
With me in the background.
Yeah, with her in the background. Resistance is Futile. Ann Coulter, order it now. We'll take some calls, maybe. You want to take some calls in a minute?
Sure, that would be great.
800-321-0710 is the number. Also, I want to talk about Governor Cuomo, that statement last night.
Great.
We'll get to that in a second. Oh, check out the webpage. I've got some great videos up there today. You know, Donald Trump had quite an acting career. There's a lot of major TV shows, sitcoms, movies. This is his acting reel. All his great appearances.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Cut together. Also, watch the greatest drum battle ever if you love the drums. And also, if you love dancing, this is quite a video. It's the evolution of dancing from the 1920s to today. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Can't hear the whole show live? Get the rest with Mark Simone on demand. Get his podcast at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710WOR.
Well, Ann Coulter is here with us in the studio today. Her new book is coming out on Monday, Resistance is Futile. It's a great book. I've just been reading it. Resistance is Futile. Order it now. Go to Amazon. You'll get it actually probably before the release date. Resistance is Futile, the new Ann Coulter book. And the subtitle is How the Trump-Hating Left Lost Its Collective Mind. Now, when Bush got elected, They kept saying that everything he did was wrong. The war was wrong. This was wrong. That was wrong. He was stupid. He didn't read all that stuff.
Right.
So what's going on now? Is this the same exact thing, just magnified because we have more media than we had back then?
Yes, it's funny how Republicans who used to be just the worst human beings in the history of the world suddenly get elevated when a new Republican comes along. When Bush came along, remember how they suddenly missed Reagan?
Yeah.
Wait, no, I remember what they said. Someday they'll be looking back to the halcyon days of Trump. But yes, it is so, so, so much worse with Trump. And, you know, as I just described in the first chapter, it really is an emotional reaction to him. They just find him absolutely icky. But they can't, you know, go on TV and say, I just find him icky.
No, they do.
So they have to, come up with this completely insane Russia conspiracy theory to give some sort of like moral fervor to their anger. But they don't like his style. They don't like his vulgarity. It's as if we had, and also whom he replaced, Obama. They absolutely adored him. Do you remember liberal women were writing articles all over the place about having sex dreams about Obama? Chris Matthews with the thrill up is like, and I will admit, Obama was very charismatic. It was like having Fred Astaire as your president. I'm so glad we're not going to have to run against him again. He's very charming and he was funny and articulate. And so to go from having Fred Astaire as your president to Rodney Dangerfield, that's what drives them absolutely mad. And they have gone mad. I mean, a lot of the book, I think, is quite good advice for the resistance. And that is, get him on the stuff he's actually done. And stop running up on wishful thinking and liberal dream sequences, which is basically what we watch on cable news every night.
So why is the liberal socialists and the going super progressive, why would they think that's the way to go? Wouldn't you try to be a little more moderate right now?
Absolutely. If they were smart, that's what they do. I mean, sorry to go back to the book that won Trump the presidency, but I think immigration is changing the country in ways that we're not entirely anticipating. And one of the ways it's changing the Democratic Party. The Democrats thought, oh yeah, we'll have this huge base of third world voters and Republicans won't ever be able to win an election. But it didn't occur to them. Yeah, but they're not going to be voting for the likes of Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and Steny Hoyer. No, they're going to want Ocasio-Cortez or whatever her name is. It's going as in a brilliant line often cited by immigration restrictionists, the former president of Singapore said, the problem with multi-ethnic societies is people stop voting their economic interests, they stop voting their social interests, they vote their ethnic group. And that's what's happening to the Democratic Party right now. Well, people coming from socialist societies, basically any immigrant to America, makes America less free, in the sense that there is no freer society on earth. And we're particularly bringing in people from authoritarian societies who are used to being bossed around, who are used to getting everything from the government. The Democratic Party, if they were smart, they'd run Sherrod Brown. Sherrod Brown could not win a primary in the Democratic Party anymore.
But, you take Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York.
Oh, yeah.
Well, wait, the one thing he had going for him for years, he seemed to be a sensible, common sense, middle-of-the-road, mainstream guy. Listen to him yesterday.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
Yeah.
Even the liberals are gasping at what he said.
He knows what the base is. He knows what the base is. And by the way, as you'll recall from Adios American polls of recent immigrants, I mean, by country they came from, and overwhelmingly the immigrants in New York, they don't particularly like America. I mean, they like the welfare. They like the jobs in many cases, and then send money home, ripping money out of our economy. But it's going to hit the Democratic Party first.
Chris Matthews himself once on this very show, he said they really don't like America. Democrats, what do you mean? He said they don't like the 4th of July. They don't like hot dogs. They don't like Friday night football. They're not into any of that.
Yes. So, well, in these stunning polls, both recently there was one, but even under Obama, you would think if anybody was going to say America isn't the best country in the world under Obama, wouldn't it be Republicans? Oh, no. Overwhelmingly Republicans, 70-80% say America is the greatest country in the world. Democrats, even under Obama, It was like 40%, i.e. they agree with many of our recent immigrants.
So what's the basic difference? Is it that the Republican thinks, we'll get you jobs, we'll create jobs, you'll make a living, you'll do... Then the Democrats, is, you'll never get a job, we'll give you free health care, we'll give you, we'll take care of you. That's basically the difference.
Yes, and... Obviously, a majority of recent immigrants don't care. They may take the job, but they don't want, that's not what they want. They're voting Democrat, block voting, not quite as much as African Americans, but it is hurting the Republican Party until Republicans realize the Democrats, many Republicans realize the Democrats hate you.
Well, a lot of these people that came here, and the Democrats always talk about what they went through, they risked their lives to sneak in here, these refugees, they came here to escape socialism. And now the Democrats say, we have socialism for you now.
Well, look at what happened to Vermont. New Yorkers flee to Vermont, and they turn rock-ribbed Republican Vermont into a socialist paradise. No, it tends not to happen that people move and drop their politics. And moreover, yes, many immigrants struggled, and they're fabulous immigrants, and they're doing great. But a lot of them came because we have very generous welfare policies.
Hey, the mayor of New York, and here's a real progressive, Mayor Bill de Blasio, He wants to close Rikers Island. It is probably the perfect prison. It's on an island, no better security. He wants to close it and make it four prisons right in the middle of Queens, Brooklyn, everywhere.
Fantastic idea.
It's all it's actually all a scam. Donors want that island for something. A casino.
Oh, to build like condos or something.
A casino, a resort.
This is just like Lindsay. We hate the outer boroughs. Remember, that was what really hurt Lindsay when there was a huge snowstorm and he made sure all the streets on the Upper East Side were plowed beautifully. Mm-hmm. But Queens, you know, a week later, they still have 4 feet of snow. This is the way the left in New York and the left in the country has always been. Everything for the elites. We want our cheap immigrant help, and we do not care about our fellow Americans.
Well, we do need some. We need busboys.
I love this about you. You are such an elitist.
You know, you can never find a waiter, but you need more water nor more bread. The busboys are all there, and you do need your lawn cut. And the car wash is only $5. Why do you think that is?
And the toilet is so clean you could eat off it.
Anyway, Ann Coulter's new book, Resistance is Futile. It's an excellent book. Take a look at it. I have it up on Twitter or Instagram if you want to see the cover. Resistance is Futile. Order it now on Amazon. Ann Coulter will be with us right after the news. But first, on 710 WOR, let's get an update.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
The Mark Simone Show.
710 WOR.
Well, Ann Coulter is with us in the studio here for the whole hour. Her new book is out called Resistance is Futile. It's a great book. Go to Amazon and order it. Hey, actually, you might make sure you order it because this is the first printing. And how did this happen? There's a couple mistakes in the first printing. They'll be corrected in the second printing. So this first edition will be rare and valuable. How does that happen?
Well, there are a lot of mistakes, probably a few dozen, but they're little things. There are two enormous mistakes, and I have my paws on your book right now where I'm correcting them in ballpoint pen.
So we'll, at some point, auction off this copy, which is the rare one with the mistakes, and hand corrected by Ann Coulter herself.
The page 171 is so depressing because it's a great heading if you know what the chapter title is and you're reading along. And instead of being listed as a heading, it's just you're reading the paragraph and the heading just looks like it's part of the sentence and it's utterly incomprehensible.
So on the Kindle, obviously they can correct that. But
yes, it was corrected in the electronic copies.
But obviously the book...
Yes.
What's the first printing, like 25,000 copies?
I have no idea. I was because I'm totally laid back this way when it comes to my books. I was demanding they reprint it.
but it's a lot of copies. They can't reprint them all.
Yes, they said they'd have to put off the publication date. I don't care. It'll be really expensive. So I spent the weekend reading it slowly to see if there were more than this one huge one on 170. And there's one at the beginning of the chapter that starts with a long quote from Rachel Maddow. I mean, it has to end. She's going on and on about an excuse, an alibi by a member of the Trump administration. And someday, I swear, we're going to have a full show, no commercials, with just all of the alibis and the excuses we've heard. And of course, the story turned out to be utter BS, no apology, nothing ever. But at the end of the quote from her, I just leap into the story. Of course, that quote has to end with, why did we never get that show?
Yeah.
And that sentence is missing, so I'm writing that in, too.
Oh, okay, great. Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Let's go to Dave in Northern California. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Mark.
Oh, I like a peppy guy. Go ahead.
Hey, Ann.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hey. Hey, Mr. Me Too.
I am so glad you are out there. You and Trump, man, I've actually been threatened by people wanting to smash my face in because I support you and Trump.
Bless you.
You're in Northern California. I imagine you're surrounded by liberals, right?
Well, and fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you know what? You know what? I want you to understand. This all started with the spotted owl crap. We used to have 15, 16 mills here. Now we're down to one.
Oh.
They do not allow you to cut anything.
Right. Okay. That's anyway. A fire hazard. How did the fire start? Do they know yet?
Maniacs. Yeah, 95. There was a Cal Fire interview the other day. The guy was talking about 95% of all these fires are started by humans.
Right. Although, as you know from Adios America, a very large number are started by illegal aliens.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. No, even insane Americans. You know. Well,
no, I know there are insane Americans. I was hoping we wouldn't be taking other countries' insane people.
Well, thanks for calling. Let's go to Paul Scarsdale. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Ann. Love you guys. So, hey, do you think Trump secretly doesn't want the Mueller investigation to end because he knows his ratings will go up and he knows there's nothing there at the end of the day?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think that is very possible. I think he may be using it the same way Obama used, ironically, the birther thing. I mean, it was weird how Obama would not put out... I didn't think it mattered, but the long-form birth certificate, and that's what the birthers got obsessed with. We want to see the long form. And even though I was kind of annoyed, well, really annoyed, with Donald Trump when he first brought up the birther thing, because it was insane. There were announcements in newspapers, and don't give me your angry calls on this. So, you know, it was Byron York and the American Spectator, my newspaper, Human Events, this blog, Sweetness and Light. It was all right-wingers coming out and digging up the stuff, proving that Obama was, in fact, born in Hawaii. And so it made right-wingers look crazy. The only time I ever heard about the birther thing was when I turned on MSNBC. Fox never talked about it. So it made the whole right wing look crazy. And I think analogously, this Russia stuff is so insane. I think I've thought this for a while. And also, I don't think he can fire him because, as you say, there's nothing to it. Consequently, as I point out in the book, Mueller's only way out of this is to hope that Trump fires him so he can become a hero of the resistance like Comey.
Yeah, I think Mueller realizes he's in a very bad spot
here.
There's nothing to find.
Now, and he can't clear Trump. He absolutely, that is not his job. He cannot do it.
Yeah, he cannot put out the final report saying there's nothing there
because
he will be shunned by the swamp where he lives in Washington. He'll be hated at the swamp parties, the swamp country clubs. He'll
no
be
more honorable appellations for him. Oh, no.
Let's go to Robert in Brooklyn. Robert, what do you want to say?
Good morning, Mark. Great show. Two questions for Ann, if I could be so...
Let's hear the first one. See how it goes.
The first one is... thank you. And there was an AG report that said FBI agents were taking more than if you can eat it, drink it, or smoke it. They were taking tickets and all sorts of gifts from media people. And we never heard anything about who those media people were and who the people with the FBI were. That's question one. And question two is, do you think Bruce Orr will fall on his sword, or you think he'll point upstream to somebody else?
Hey, we should point out there is currently an IG investigation into Strzok, Page, McCabe.
Right, the Russia, because the first IG report was only on the Hillary investigation.
Yeah,
so we still have the Russia investigation. But if the standard is there's no specific evidence that a single decision was determined by this bias, well, that's kind of a high standard. In terms of pointing the finger up, Orr is going to dig his heels in. As long as you're anti-Trump, you can break the law. in all kinds of ways, and you will be a hero. So we know, I mean, the media really has its finger on the scale here when all you will get is fawning coverage, including if you are a porn star or, if you were responsible for droning civilians like John Brennan. I mean, the media may have wanted to boil you in oil, feed you to the dogs. If you come out and join the resistance, you will be a hero. Which is kind of a disturbing thing in society that it's not even the swamp in the sense of the prosecutors or the law or the judges. Although so far, I don't know, we'll see how the judges are. The judges, other than the ones in Hawaii and the Ninth Circuit, have been pretty fair and honorable. You just go against Trump and suddenly all the media will have to say about you is how clever you are and what a great dancer, and you make your own clothes and so beautiful and honorable and a lifelong Republican and blah, blah, blah. It must be lovely to be a liberal in America.
Well, let's go to Robert in Brooklyn. Robert, what do you want to ask?
Yeah. So that it ends with Bruce Orr, there are no more people who are dragged in after him. That's it?
I think I went to the same caller again.
Well, let's see. More people. I think we already know the people being dragged in. I mean,
Strzok, Page.
Yeah, and Steele.
Susan Rice will end up dragging.
But in terms of the sleazy business with the Russian dossier, I think we know who the people are.
Well, but
the
Susan
Clinton
Rice,
campaign.
Susan Rice was the one caught unmasking these names, and she was the UN ambassador. She had no business even being involved in that.
Again, the rule is you can break the law if you're a Democrat. I mean, if a Republican had done any of this stuff, as you'll read in the Tale of Two Dicks chapter, even what Nixon was accused of, every other president had done in spades. Europeans, boy, the liberals worry about what Europeans think about us. They're laughing at this, you know, spying on the opposing team. FDR did it. LBJ did it. They did it to the press. They did it to the opposing parties. They did it to primary opponents. But you can't do the same things if you're a Republican.
Well, get Ann Coulter's new book, Resistance is Futile. You can get it right now on Amazon. Let's go to Dan in Long Island. Dan, what do you want to say?
What an honor to speak to you, Ann. I'm deplorable right down to my socks, retired lieutenant from the police department, and I listen to you guys on the radio, on television, and I can't tell you how happy I am knowing that right now on the left coast, liberals are waking up and the stock market's up 370% and a trade deal with Mexico is imminent. I mean, that is ruining so many lattes at Starbucks. I can't even say how happy I am. And my friends in high places section, wouldn't it be great to have a friend in CNN? There's not a single mention on their website on my governor's big mouth, shooting off his big mouth yesterday. Chris Cuomo must have cleansed the website. They don't even report it. It's not on the website at all. The stupidest thing said in politics in the last 10 years.
Well, wait, let me play it for those. Wait, hang on. For those that didn't hear it, Governor Cuomo.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
So CNN never reported that, huh?
Well, in CNN's defense, I don't know if you heard, but Omarosa says there's a tape. And we need to really talk about the tape that no one has yet, that doesn't exist. We're just going to keep talking about that tape, because really, Mark, why would she lie?
You know, yeah, you're right. Every time she's on CNN, they never anywhere in the interview say, you know, you've been fired from the White House several times before. You were fired
yep.
from the Clinton White House. Or they never said to Brennan, you've been caught lying under oath to Congress on numerous occasions. They never mentioned that in the interview.
Well, yeah, and as long as we're on the subject, last weekend they had Al Sharpton on MSNBC, I think it was last week or the weekend before, talking about Trump's taxes. Now, I don't know. If you're working at MSNBC, don't you want to take Al Sharpton aside and say, you know, we're going to have you on. We really value you, Al. But since your office kept having suspicious fires every time you were audited, destroying your tax records, I'm thinking maybe you're not the right guy to be talking about someone else's taxes.
That could be. Get Ann Coulter's book. It's Resistance is Futile. Go to my Twitter or Instagram. You can take a look at the cover. It's a great book. Resistance is Futile. Now, it's coming out Monday, but order it right now and you'll get it first. Just go to Amazon and order it there, or AnnCoulter.com. We'll come back in a moment and wrap things up. Check out the webpage. There's some great video up there. Watch this. This is Donald Trump had quite a career in movies and TV. He was on a number of big TV shows, movies. Take a look at his acting reel, all cut together. Also, if you love the drums, watch this battle. The two greatest drummers ever go at it. And if you love dancing, watch this, the evolution of dancing from the 1920s to today. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/mark.